WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to the program. Thanks for being here with us on our Tuesday edition of The Opening Bell. Glad to be back at it after a long holiday weekend. Let's turn the focus now to perhaps the end of the world. I know it's not the best of topics to begin your work week on, but an interesting topic that is the focus of a new book. And it focuses in on the potential threats to humanity, including asteroids, artificial intelligence, volcanic super eruptions, and bioengineered viruses. Brian Walsh is the author of End Times, A Brief Guide to the End of the World, where he details the probability of some of these earth-ending catastrophes, how they might happen, how they would impact our lives, and the best strategies for saving ourselves. Brian is a foreign correspondent, reporter, and editor for Time. He also writes for Bloomberg, Newsweek, and Medium on sustainability issues. And he is with us this morning on the telephone. Brian, good morning. Welcome to The Opening Bell.
It's great to be here.
This book, it's called End Times, A Brief Guide to the End of the World. Let's talk about a little bit why you decided to write about this. I know you have a history of reporting on things like SARS and climate change. It seemed like a natural for you?
Yeah, it really was. I mean, I had been a reporter for a number of years, more than a decade, you know, and I had reported on infectious disease pandemics. I spent a lot of time working on climate change, and I'd written about sort of global politics, and I realized, you know, all those issues were kind of moving towards this big subject. They're all about the global threats that could affect all of us on this planet. And when I was looking for, you know, a big project to work on after I left Time magazine, this just seemed like a logical one. And then I began to really delve into it, and I found, you know, there are both natural threats that have always been with us, you know, things like asteroids, but really concerning are the new emerging technological threats, things from biotech, from AI, that we're actually bringing to the world ourselves and which are going to get worse in the years to come. And that was particularly worrying, and that's what I really wanted to focus on.
Yeah, and I want to get into a couple of these, but you go down the list of potential things that could end the world, and it could be kind of depressing if you kind of focus on it a little bit. I mean, you've got asteroids, as you mentioned, volcanoes, climate change we've mentioned, nuclear war could happen, a nuclear accident or something like that. You've mentioned biotechnology and artificial intelligence. There's aliens out there as well. I mean, so many possible things. It could be kind of scary.
Yeah, and I totally understand that. And, you know, it is scary. I mean, when you really do contemplate the end of the world, you know, the end of the human species, it's definitely something that keeps you up at night. But what I really found as I experienced this and as I reported on it was that there are people working hard, and there are means we have at our disposal to reduce that risk. It's not just that we're destined to go extinct, destined for the world to end, but we actually have that in our, you know, in our hands to reduce that risk. And, you know, being able to experience those people, being able to spend time with them, really made me feel a lot more hopeful.
Well, make us feel a little bit more hopeful. What, give us a specific thing, because, you know, as we sit here talking today, the Amazon is on fire and climate change seems to be out of control. What kinds of things were you made to feel a little bit more comfortable about?
Well, you know, I think you mentioned asteroids at the top of this, and that's a great example of a threat that human beings found, you know, discovered, really learned how the impact that these events had had on the planet in the past. And we're able to use technology, use our space program to search for asteroids that are out there, find the ones that might be at risk of impacting the Earth, and then actually not just detect them, but develop means to deflect them if we ever had to. You know, that's actually something we potentially could do, and that's pretty amazing. You know, the idea that we can take something that's coming from the cosmos that's wiped other species out, obviously the dinosaurs most notably, and protect ourselves. You know, that's the kind of thing that made me feel more hopeful, because it shows that we don't just bring risks and threats into the world, we can actually reduce them as well.
On the issue of climate change, we're in this era now where you still have a good number of people who don't believe that why it's happening, some reasons why it's happening. There's been a little bit of inaction, a lot of inaction in some places. Is that, on the flip side of that coin, one of the areas that you might be most concerned about?
Yeah, I mean, climate change is something where I think it shows the difficulty we have. I mean, climate change is happening. It's not like the other risks in that it's something that's always been You know, it's not going to, you know, possibly happen or not happen. Climate change has been happening, will happen, will continue to happen. And I don't feel great about the politics around it, but I do feel positive about some of the technological sort of innovations we could make that could actually directly reduce that impact. I talk about carbon capture, which to me is one of the most amazing potential inventions out there that could really solve this problem. Problem is, it's not, you need almost a Manhattan Project or an Apollo Project kind of funding behind it. We don't really have that yet, but that's really what we're going to need if we're going to diffuse that particular threat.
You know, there's a back to the positive side of this. There's one of the things listed here is disease. There's a great deal of attention in your book about how we're fighting a lot of these diseases and how we're doing the gene editing now. This CRISPR technology has been in the headlines a lot lately. Is that one of the areas that you're hopeful that we'll be able to conquer some diseases, especially genetic diseases?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, and that's a great example of something that's both a threat, you know, because gene editing actually can be used to make these viruses worse, sometimes for legitimate scientific reasons, sometimes potentially for terrorism, actually. But also, of course, it can help us deal with the risks that have been created by nature itself. And that challenge is really going to be there, like that dual threat challenge of knowing how to really deal with both something that can do good and something that can do ill as well. Figuring out how we can kind of get between those two, possibly those two poles, is a challenge I think we face, because it's easy enough if it's something that's just terrible, like nuclear weapons, we just shouldn't use them. But we don't want to ban these kind of technologies and advances. We want to get the most out of them while minimizing the risk.
In putting the book together, you've talked to a lot of folks who are at the front lines of some of this. Really some heroic people, aren't they?
They really are, you know, and that really gives me a lot of hope that people care about this. They're really making a difference. And they're something they actually, you know, they spend time thinking about the future of humanity. You know, they really actually care about these threats that seem really low probability. They seem almost impossible, but they're actually out there in the front lines, you know, and we're, you know, if we continue to survive, we're going to really owe them a debt of gratitude.
It's interesting because, you know, again, as we sit and conduct this interview, there's a new survey out about the number of people that are preparing for the end of the world. This used to be a thing around the turn of the century. I remember covering stories about Y2K and all of the preppers for Y2K getting all of their stuff together. The prepping world is still busy at it, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's more people doing that than ever before. I mean, you can really pick your prepping. You can get your backyard shelter. You can go luxury, get a vault in somewhere in South Dakota or Kansas. You know, if you're really up top of it, you can go to New Zealand and make your own little luxury bolt hole. But my point here really is that this is not the kind of thing that's going to save us. You know, we're not going to be saved individually through prepperism. We need to really come together as a society. That's what's going to make a difference. These are threats that no one can handle on their own. It's going to take us coming together as a country, as a world, really, to really make sure that we can endure.
How big of a threat do you think the artificial intelligence part of this is? I know there have been some scientists and others in the tech world who are extremely fearful about this. I know Stephen Hawking, before he died, said that could be the one singular thing that ends the human race. Is it that significant?
It's hard to know, really, because it really depends on whether it's even possible. All these other threats, I know they're real. I know they could happen. With AI, it's going to depend on how well we can actually develop that. You know, there are some scientists who believe that artificial general intelligence is just around the corner. Others believe it might be impossible, that it might never be something that's doable. But if it is, you have to think about the fact that we're only on the top of the food chain on this planet because we're the smartest species out there. If we create something smarter than us, then we're in trouble. You know, we could end up being kind of shoved out of existence the same way we've done to so many other species on this planet.
Yeah, and I like the question about aliens as well. I know that seems kind of far out there, but we haven't seen it yet. At least I don't think we have, not officially. What kind of threat does that pose, and do you think there might be a reason why we haven't seen them yet?
I mean, there's two possibilities here. One is that they don't exist, in which case that would actually be bad for us. It could mean that there's, you know, if they existed once but now they're gone, maybe that could happen to us as well. Maybe there's something in technological development that leads a civilization to destroy itself. And if they do exist and they can actually come to visit us, they would be technologically so advanced beyond us that we would have no means of resisting them. So we have to really hope that they're friendly and not hostile. And that's why a lot of scientists believe maybe we shouldn't be messaging life out there, because we don't really know who's on the other end. We probably shouldn't be sending them, you know, Google Map directions to our own planet.
Yeah, probably so. I have to ask, and I kind of mean this tongue-in-cheek, but also a little half-seriously, have you been having nightmares after getting all of this stuff ready for this book?
You know, I actually felt more despairing before this book. I mean, this book helped me understand the nature of the risks I face. We all face. They're very real. They're happening right now. But I also know a path forward. I also know the things we can do to protect ourselves, and that gives me a lot of hope, you know. That's really what makes the difference with me. It's what keeps me from, you know, keeps me able to sleep at night at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm. And that might be the final thought for our interview here, as people are listening to this. Reading about it and getting all this information, learning about all of these different things, that does wonders in terms of our understanding and of a possibility of preventing some of this stuff.
Exactly, yeah. I think we really have to understand them first. It's like any kind of situation, any kind of challenge, any kind of risk. And then we know, then we can begin to decide what we need to do about it, how we do it really as not just a country, but as a species.
Brian, thank you for taking some time out and being with us today. We appreciate it.
I appreciate it.
Brian Walsh, former foreign correspondent, reporter, and editor at Time Magazine, currently a writer for Bloomberg, Newsweek, Medium, and Time as well, and author of End Times, A Brief Guide to the End of the World.